Good morning, church. Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 15. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And when the disciples asked him, "Then why do the scribes must say that first Elijah must come?" He answered, "Elijah does come and will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come," and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. "So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and, kneeling before him, said, "Lord, have mercy on me, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, but I've seen a few of the movies. I've enjoyed them. I remember the first Star Trek movie. And at the end of the movie, Captain Kirk gave the order for the Enterprise to be on its way. And the crew said, "Where are we going?" And Captain Kirk just says, "Out there, out there." I guess Kirk was telling them what the show was all about, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Well, graduates, today's the day we're sending you on a journey out there. Out there. You will go to places and have experiences that you've never had before. And I want to say to you, don't play it safe. Don't play it safe. Boldly go where you've never gone before. Now, you may think that's strange advice coming from your pastor. But I know in life, the fear of risk sometimes has kept me from missing the adventure of a life of faith. You see, faith is not playing it safe. It's risking everything on God's will and God's word. It's being willing to say, "I will follow him wherever he leads. I will trust him to provide for me and whatever he calls me to do. Maybe even sometimes in jobs that I don't even know how I will be paid." I remember when Kiowa Southern Baptist Chapel called me out of seminary to be their pastor. And they told me what they could pay. And I was talking with my dad, who was a Christian. He's a man who always tried to walk with the Lord, and I told him what they told me they could pay, and his first words out of his mouth were, "You can't live on that." That's what he said to me, "You can't live on that." Well, I had to decide then and there whether I believed God wanted me to go, and if I did believe God wanted Carla and I to go, and she was, by the way, 8 months pregnant when this all happened. If I did believe God wanted Carla and I to go to Kiowa, Kansas and be pastor there, if God would take care of me. And I made the right decision on that day. You see, don't play it safe. Refuse to play it safe. Don't lose your guts. Don't be cautious. Determined to go out there wherever God leads you to go. Might not be a problem for you. It was less of a problem when I was your age than it is now for me. But all of us, I think, have a tendency to bide our time, to tread water and play it safe. And I think that is a great temptation. But God wants us to throw our caution to the wind in our service to Him. Yes, He does. He calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. We might say sometimes, I do that, but how will I care for my family? Or we might say, I would do that, but people would think I was crazy for doing that. Or you might say, I'd do that, but I might look like a fool. Or we might be tempted to excuse ourselves by saying, if I try that, someone might get hurt. Maybe even me. I think we need to have the attitude that Jim Elliot had. Before he was martyred, he wrote in his journal, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You see, Jesus does want us to lose our lives to Him and thus find life. And for most of us, it's not going to involve martyrdom, but it will involve saying no to ourselves and saying yes to Him. It will involve risk and not knowing what the future holds, except we know that God is leading us to a certain future. Jesus wants us to lose our life and thus find life. He wants us to recklessly abandon ourselves to Him and trust that He will take care of us. He doesn't want our focus to be on the materialistic things of the world, like the attitude of the world. He doesn't want us to worry about what we will eat or drink or what we will wear. He wants us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. I'm not talking about being stupid. Living by faith is not being stupid. Living by faith means staying away from temptation. But living by faith is risking it all for God. It is never living in rebellion to God, but it's trusting that God will take care, will walk with you, and it's not living in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. You see, sometimes as Christians, we're always worried about falling into temptation or losing ground. We're always on the defensive, protecting what we might think we may have gained. But living by faith means to be on offense as a Christian. When Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against you, He was talking about an attacking army, attacking the gates of a city. And you see, living by faith means being willing to storm the gates of hell to take from the devil what he thinks belongs to him and to claim it for our God and our Christ. God is sending all of us, and especially you graduates today, sending you out there. It'd be easy to stay on a mountaintop and get religious high and ignore the hurting world, but that's not what God has for anyone who believes in Him. Now, Peter, James, and John had been selected to go up with Jesus on the mountain and see His glory. On the mountain, they saw Jesus transfigured before them. We get our word metamorphos from this. Metamorphothos is what the word is. And it means to change the external form or shape. You see, they saw Jesus like they would see Him in glory partly. The scripture says, His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. They saw Jesus in His heavenly glory. His clothes were as bright as a flash of lightning. And not only that, but they saw Moses and Elijah with Jesus. And Luke tells us, when we read the parallel account in Luke, that Moses and Elijah and Jesus were talking about Jesus' departure, His crucifixion, His resurrection, and His ascension. Now that's some pretty heady stuff, isn't it? Pretty heady stuff. You talk about mountaintop experiences. Man, that's the granddaddy of them all. Peter, always one to talk before thinking, said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If You wish, I'll put up three shelters. One for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What was Peter saying? Basically, he was saying, let's stay up here. This is a fun place. Let's stay up here and just have this great moment. Have this experience. Let's don't go back down the mountain where we have to risk anything or be discouraged or get hurt. Let's go back down where there are people who don't like us, and there are people who want to kill You, Jesus. Let's stay up here. and use an expression from my youth, let's stay up here and just get high on God. But they couldn't do that because there were hurting people in the valley below. There was a man with a son who was demon-possessed, and he needed deliverance from God. They couldn't do anything to help him in their shelters on the top of the mountain. They had to go down in the valley. They had to go out there. They had to go out there. You see, brothers and sisters, God didn't love the world so much that He called an extra worship service in heaven. God loved the world so much that He sent His Son into the world to save the world. You see, graduates and every other brother and sister in Christ this morning, real ministry, real evangelism, mostly does not take place in here within the comfort of this building. Mostly it doesn't take place. That we do minister to one another, we do help each other, but mainly as a church gathered, we are to be equipped. The Scripture says we are to be equipped for the work of service, of ministry, of going out there, of being servants to others in Jesus' name, of telling them about the love of Jesus. We're to be equipped for the work and ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Real ministry, real evangelism, real finding our life happens out there as you walk with Jesus out there. If you want to make an impact in joining Jesus as He builds His kingdom, you have to go out there. You have to. It doesn't really take place within the walls of the church. If the ministry that East Madison Baptist does takes place mainly here, I'm telling you, we're failing. We're failing. We need to be out there, and you are out there every day. And remember, when you're out there as an ambassador and a representative for God. And remember that wherever God sends you out there, it's tough. It's difficult. It won't be easy. But God will be with you if you go in Jesus' name. Graduates and brothers and sisters in Christ, our calling is to our community, our nation, and the world that God loves. You see, God loved the world so much, He sent Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus says, as I've been sent, I'm sending you. You see, graduates, if your goal is to be the next Bill Gates, or Jennifer Lawrence, or Taylor Swift, or Aaron Rodgers, or Ryan Braun, that's not a worthy goal. It is not a worthy goal. Make it your goal, your ambition, your heart's cry to join Jesus in extending His kingdom to the ends of the earth. And I want to say to you, sometimes we think the call is only for the professional Christians, like your pastor. That's so wrong. You see, it's for every believer to follow Jesus and to extend His kingdom to the ends of the earth. Do you realize that that people like me, like preachers and maybe even quote-unquote missionaries, there are places in the world they can't go if that's all they do. But there are places in the world that computer programmers and athletes and businessmen and teachers and social workers can go. And God is using those people. You see, even in Southern Baptist life, we have people in places doing jobs just like that, and they are taking the gospel to their worlds, but we can't tell you where they're at because they would be in danger if the world knew that, if the people knew that. It's not that they're not, they are teachers, but they're going as teachers in Jesus' name. They're going as teachers in Jesus' name, extending God's kingdom wherever they are. And you see, even if God places you in the United States to do those kind of jobs, you are still His ambassador. You are still His missionary, so to speak. You see, don't settle just for some career. Don't settle for reaching the top of the ladder. Risk it all for Jesus. Risk it all for God. Sell out to Jesus, and that's where abundant life is, and that's where you're going to find the greatest purpose that anyone could ever find.
I challenge you,
graduates, I challenge every person here to boldly go wherever God leads you. Don't play it safe. Risk it all in following Jesus. And that's the kind of risk that's going to pay off. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you risk it all for us. We thank you that you didn't just see our need and have a committee to talk about that need. We thank you, Lord, that you came to our mess and you lived among us and you showed us how to live and you died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and you rose again so that the greatest fear that we have, that fear of death, could be conquered and that everyone who believes in you will not perish but have eternal life. So death can no longer have a hold on them anymore. We thank you for these young people you've entrusted to us, and we pray for them as they go out, that they might risk it all in following you. But Father, we pray for ourselves that that might be the heart's cry of every believer here, that we would risk it all in following you. Lord, whether you would leave us in Madison or you would send us across the world. Lord, help us, Lord, to see the world that is so desperate and hurting. Fathers whose children are suffering and mothers, Lord, whose children are astray and people who have no hope and no future because they don't know about you. Lord, send us out to them. Lord, help us to be thrust by you into this world. And as you came, Lord Jesus, help us also to go into this world. Father, I pray for anyone here today that hasn't put their trust in you, Lord. They don't realize that life is not about getting everything you can get. Life is about Jesus and giving it all up and living it for him. Would you draw them to yourself and work in their lives? And help us to remember that every day. Lord, as we tend to be cautious, help us to risk it all for you, not only generally, but day by day by day. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.